We are starting a new series in Revelation, The Christian's Crystal Ball. And in chapter one, we will learn who Jesus is as the Alpha and the Omega. Now, over the years, Revelation understandably strikes many Christians as challenging material. The apocalyptic literature, for me, seems scary and confusing at first. So I always thought, and for a long time, it was best that I stayed away from Revelation. Even the sound of the word, Revelation, used to send chills through my body. What are we gonna do? Well, Jesus said he is coming, and he's coming soon. So what's next? Well, let me help you all out. I need you all to breathe in and breathe out. Let's do it together. Breathe in and breathe out. Woo-sah. Revelation is God's word. So we can relax. All the imagery, all the symbolism still points to the same simple truths and consistent and comforting message of our Lord's mercy, of our Lord's grace, and of our Lord's forgiveness that gives us peace. So as we go through our series on Revelations, I want you to woo-saw, relax, and this is how I want you to interpret it. Jesus Christ has won the battle against evil, and God's kingdom will endure forever. The prologue. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. So please, don't be scared of Revelation. Don't be confused by it either. Read it and be blessed by it. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 through 18, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who was to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of our Lord. It is traditionally believed that John was the youngest apostle, and he survived all of them. He is said to live an old age, and he died of natural causes in Ephesus around AD 98, maybe becoming the only apostle not to die as a martyr. John wrote Revelation around 96 AD. Rome had exiled John to Patmos as a punishment for talking about Jesus as the true God and Lord of the universe. This upset the Roman Emperor Caesar Domitian, who believed he himself to be Lord and God of the empire. People were persecuting Christians then, and they still are. But you and I can be thankful that we have different freedoms today. Revelation is God's way of communicating to us, please keep your trust in me. Jesus wants to have a friendly, loving relationship with us all. This is why he reveals to John and reveals to us all who he is, what his plans are, and where he wants the relationship with us to go. Wouldn't it be great if all relationships were like that? Everything just laid right out there on a table. From the very beginning, you never had to guess. And that relationship, you knew, would always be filled with love and forgiveness. Sounds like the best type of relationship to have, doesn't it? Here's who this type of relationship can exist with. In verse 8 of chapter 1, it describes Jesus as the Alpha and Omega, the first, the last, and everything in between. When Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega," he is saying, "I am all you need." You never can have a need. You never can invent or imagine anything for which the Lord your God is not sufficient. No situation can arise that exhausts Jesus. Christ says he is the Alpha, meaning there's nothing before him. Everything you see, created by him. Everybody you see, started with him. And Jesus just wants us to get back to where we started. There's no redemption until we come to him. There's no salvation until we come to him. But when we come to him, there's a new beginning. There's a new understanding. It's the beginning of knowledge when we come to him. The beginning of peace and pleasure when we come to him. Life itself starts with Jesus Christ. Jesus is also described in verse 8 as the Lord who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This title reminds us that Jesus is our ruler. This title should also remind us that Jesus has all the power. And this power deserves our obedience. The Almighty God, with all his power, has been holding the church, his people, together with his grace. He's been holding the church up with his forgiveness. And if you know Jesus, if you know him, when he comes, you know what he's going to bring. He's going to bring grace. He's going to bring grace to us all. And this should be comforting to us. Now, I don't know if you all pay attention to what's going on in the news a lot, but Milwaukee has been a popular place recently. And I received an amazing opportunity to speak with the person who will be getting my vote for years to come. Did you all know President Pastor Lyra was in town this weekend? I know, right? When I heard that, I jumped at that opportunity. I called him up right away and set up a meeting with him. And I love speaking with Pastor Lyra, because we always talk about my two favorite things, the Word and sports. And no matter where the conversation starts, we always get to sports. And then we always get back to the Word. So when I was talking with Pastor Lyra earlier this week, he says to me, "Ron, back in the day," and I love when Pastor Lyra says "back in the day," because I know he's about to drop that knowledge on me. And he says, "Back in the day, I love watching the Packers." I was like, "Yeah, back in the day, I used to like that too, Pastor Lyra." He said, "I love watching the Packers from Oregon." I was like, "Oh, you was a dedicated fan." He said, "I love watching the Packers on VHS tapes." He said, "Ron, you remember VHS tapes, right?" I was like, "Barely." He was like, "I would love watching the Packers on VHS tapes because my mother-in-law would send them to me in the mail." Now, every conversation I have with Pastor Lyra, I always take something away. Always, I'm thankful that I have a brother in Christ that has so much knowledge to share with me. But lately, in our recent conversations, I've been taken away that Uncle Pastor Lyra is getting kind of old. He talking about VHS tapes? I was scared he was going to say that he was on the island of Patmos with the disciple whom Jesus loved. But he didn't say that. What he did say is, would he really enjoy watching the Packers play, even though it was a week later, especially when they were victorious? Because when there was a fumble, he didn't get anxious. When there was an interception, he didn't get upset. No matter how much they struggled, he didn't have to be afraid they were going to lose. Even when they were down and it appeared that the game was getting away from them, he didn't lose hope. And he said to me, "Isn't it good to know that you have the victory?" I said to him, "Well, Even though we know, why is it that we still get anxious? We're still afraid, even though we know. John says in the text, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Jesus tells John not to fear. The reason he should not fear is because of Jesus' true identity. But when we are confronted with all that power, with all that love, face to face with Jesus, and we see who he is, we can clearly see who we are. And we know we fall short. We know we are going to hear his word and not take it to heart. We know we are going to read the prophecies and not follow the instructions. We know that we have a crystal ball right next to us. And when we need it, we're not going to use it. Why? Well, often we see the evil prosper and the righteous go without. We often see the people of power oppress the weak. We see those who teach false religion succeed while the true gospel is ignored. These observations of the world around us can be very discouraging. It appears that the enemies of God are winning. It looks as if the world is out of God's control. It seems as if it might be better to just switch teams, to enjoy the pleasure and the privileges that the world has to offer, and just run along with that. This is how it seems when we look at the world. Things may look one way on the surface, but things aren't always as they seem. Please look into your Christian crystal ball. Revelation reveals how things are and what must soon take place. If your life is all mixed up and confusing, or maybe you can't understand why you are going through the things that you are going through, Jesus says, come to me, and I'll make sense of it all to you. In him, as Alpha and Omega, we have all that we need to make sense of life, to live life, to have peace in life from the beginning to the end. In our Christian crystal ball, we can clearly see we have eternal life. In studying for the text and thinking about the future, I couldn't stop thinking about this movie, Back to the Future. I got the opportunity to watch this movie late this summer. It's one of Pastor Hines' favorites, and it's also one of my youngest daughter's favorite movies. Now, we watched this movie for movie night, and in order for a movie to make the big screen for Kelly's movie night, you have to preview it, and then you have to make a compelling case why you enjoy the movie and why the rest of the family should watch it. So if any of you have teenage daughters, you know when they want to make a compelling case, they make a compelling case. And that my daughter did. So Back to the Future finally made it to movie night. And in thinking about this movie, I also thought about her. And I came and circled back around and I asked her, why did you like this movie, Back to the Future, so much? I mean, because one would think, you know, based on how they make the movies these days, like any of those old movies just wouldn't be entertaining. But my youngest daughter, those are her favorites, the old movies. So I asked her, like, why did you like this movie so much? And we kind of went back to the conversation we had late in the summer, and this is how she responded. I like the movie Back to the Future because of the storyline. It would be cool to see yourself in the future, especially if you're living better than you could ever imagine. The characters in the movie seem to have had plenty of opportunities to make things right. Chances within chances. Knowing that you have the power to control your destiny has to be a good feeling. Then I added another question. I asked Sharon, how does she feel about Jesus with his consistent forgiveness? And how does she feel knowing that God has a special place for her way beyond what she could imagine? And that she's going to get an opportunity after opportunity to serve. And here's what she said. You don't have to put too much worry into anything. All your bad moments, you can learn from them and then leave them behind. It's easier to look forward to what's ahead. And that's really nice. Looking forward to God's goodness is really nice. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. I am the Living One, says the Lord. I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Our crystal ball says the Lord will show his people mercy from beginning to the end. Our crystal ball says the Lord forgives us and we can live in his peace from beginning to the end. Find comfort in our Almighty God who has overcome the world and death. And he says to us, look, we win. I have the keys. That means you have the victory. Please celebrate that victory. And may the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace be with you all forever and ever. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.